The following recording offers you a number of different options for the Daf Yomi. It begins with a recording of this, the 13 cycles of Daf Yomi, and that's done rather rapidly, within a half an hour or less. That's followed by a quick review between 5 and 10 minutes, depending on the length of the Daf. After that comes the very same Daf from the previous cycle, done at greater length, in much greater detail, with different participants in a different ambience. You could choose one for your original learning, one for review, alternate, or whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf, Masechet Shabbat, is Daf Nun Tet, and we're holding right at the top of the Daf, first line, last word, Itmar Nami. So basically, let's just remember, we're obviously in the middle of a sugya, what the question is over here. We were wondering about what constitutes breaking a kli. And it turned out, we said originally, we thought that the problem of a bell that had the clapper removed was the reason that we considered it to be continuously tamei, or roi lekabotuna, was the original reason put forth by Abaya, was because anybody can put it back. It doesn't require any type of professional. And because of that, it's not really considered broken. We disproved that. Rava disproved that. And instead, we came out, according to Rava, that the inbal part is indeed broken. So the clapper is not going to be mekabel tuma, but the bell itself still can be used to ring. Why? Because you bang it on a piece of wood or a piece of cheres, and that way it still is a bell, albeit perhaps originally it was meant to have a clapper and wouldn't have been mekabel tuma lechatchila, as we saw earlier, without the clapper. Once it becomes a bell, it's not considered to be broken, until such time as it's useless. Now, apparently, this says, like Isha Gabi Cheres, as Itvar Nami Amr Bezri Bechanina, however, like Isha Gabi Cheres, what we're looking for is a usage that is consonant with the bell's original purpose, that is to say, to make a sound. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Omer, why do you need for it to make a sound? It uses a cup, basically, right? I mean, you turn upside down, you hold it from the baby, let's say. So you need a little tiny baby cup. So perfect. Now obviously, according to Rabbi Yochanan, for a kli not considered to be broken, it's sufficient that it has a usage. It doesn't require anything similar to its original usage. There's no connection between turning it into a cup for a baby and its original purpose of making noise. Asks the Gemara, is it so that Rabbi Yochanan Oboy Me'in Melech Harishana? You're trying to tell me that according to Rabbi Yochanan, it doesn't matter whether its original purpose, something similar, Me'in, something similar to its original purpose, is being served or not? But we know that that's not true because V'atanya, the Kol Kli, note the funny language over Kol Kli Asher Yeshev. Asher Yeshev, Asher Yishkav Alav Azatayatutsaki. Which is in Lashon Hoveh, not Asher Yashar, a kli that is sitting or sits on. What does that tell us? Yocho kafasa avi yashav aleha. Kafata kav vi yashav aleha. I think you take a little bucket that is meant for measuring or for carrying around grain. So you take a bushel, you turn it upside down, a half bushel, turn it upside down, sit on it. You might think that it'll be makabel tuma from the zav who sits on it. Is that the type of thing that a zav sits on? No. Because that's not its main purpose. That's why the Torah says, "Asher yeshev alav," which he normally would sit on. Mishem yuchad liyeshiva, something that was made originally for that purpose. Yatzoze shomrim lo, as opposed to this case, will you get the heck off of my bucket, please? Amod v'nasem alachteinu, get up. We need to do our work. Which means that according to this, you would need to have something that was miyuchad, but obviously if it needs to be that way in order to be mekabel tuma in the first place, then you're also saying that taking something, using it for another melacha, will always violate this rule. Excuse me, that's a bell. Will you please hand me that? I need to use it as a bell. Not so. In other words, the point is that we would require something to be what it is for, whether it's lechatchila in order to be mekabel tuma, or whether we consider it to be broken. This is not a asher yeshev alav. Now, Rabbi Elazar Omer, now hold on a minute, says Rabbi Elazar. This is a unique situation, which is only true about midrasot, because it's only midras azav, which has to do with lying on something or sitting on something, where over there the Torah stresses asher yishkav alav, asher yeshev alav, as opposed to asher shachav, asher yashav. In that case, yes, there we say omrim amod v'naseh malachtenu, but certainly not when it comes to something that had been made as a general usage kli. It came, tell me, let's say, with a mate. We're not going to say, amod v'naseh malachtenu. Is it a kli ma'aseh? So it's anything to be broken if it's still a kli maaseh. Now, in that case, of course, we would understand that the issue of the bell would be over here, would continue to be tamei. The problem is, Rabbi Yochanan Omer, not true. Af Omer b'tamei meit amod v'naseh melachta. Now we've got a problem. Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said that if you take a bell and you use it now, the only possible usage is as a baby cup. Now Rabbi Yochanan says that that's still considered to be tamei. Then obviously he does not hold that the rule of Amod Benasim Alachtenu applies to general Tumot. And yet here he says...
Sits on that bucket now becomes...
No, bucket. Tamei Meit is not a bucket. Bucket is Midrasot. The bell is not Midras. You don't sit on a bell. You use the bell. So when Rabbi Yochanan, if you wouldn't have heard what Rabbi Yochanan just said, you would have asked originally, top of the page, does Rabbi Yochanan hold that a kli needs to be consistent still with its original purpose? Answer, no. Because he says that the bell is considered to be tamei because you could use it as a baby cup. And yet here Rabbi Yochanan is saying, no, not true. It does have to be consistent with the original melacha, even the gabi dinim of tumat meit, not only gabi tumat midrasot. So obviously we've got a contradiction here in Rabbi Yochanan. Something's wrong. Says the Gemara, something is definitely wrong. There's no way to answer this. It's clear that we got confused between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Chanina's pshat and Rabbi Yochanan's pshat. We'll have to flip it. Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said that it's tamei because it still makes noise because you could take the bell and bang it on something. And it was Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, who said, well, you have to come on to its original usage. You can use it as a baby cup. That must be the pshat. So, Epoch Kamaita. What, you just picked one out of a bell? I understand. Why did you choose to switch around the first one? Why not switch around the Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar and the last one? So my chazita de afachta kamaita epoch patraita. No, that wasn't an option. We know from other places that Rabbi Yochanan definitely holds that you do need me'in melacha rishona, which is consistent with the way Rabbi Yochanan appears here, that af betamei meit, we say amod v'nasim lachtenu. Where is that? Because we have a Mishnah that teaches as follows. If you have a sandal, this is a question in Kelim, there are times when you make a shoe for an animal. It's going to be walking a long distance. It's going to be going between gravelly surfaces, which are going to grind away at its feet, give it infections and so on. So they would make a metal shoe. So sandal shebeima shel matechet is considered to be tamei. Now we know that, as we saw earlier, a kli for an animal is not the kabbalatuma. But the kli for the human's usage of the animal, yes, the bell, which he can hear. But the sandal is for the animal. And here it says, it's tamei. Now, why would that be? Obviously, because a human also has use of this kli. What use is that kli? Lamai chazit. Oh, my Rav, look, if you get really thirsty, you take it off of the animal, and you use it as a water canteen. So, ro'i lishtot bo mayim b'milchama. You know. Yeah.
Rabbi, you gotta be really thirsty.
Rabbi Chanina says, well, that's pretty disgusting. I mean, I could see somebody using it to store oil and maybe putting your oil on your skin, you know, but drinking? So, Rabbi Chanina omer ro'i lasuch bo shemen b'milchama. And Rabbi Yochanan says, look, it's very simple what it's good for. When you got to run, you know, and you got to run in places where the enemy's not going to be catching up to you, like anything but the briar patch. You put this on your feet to be able to walk through the briar patch. Exactly. So, the first tanks. Animal shoes. Anyway, my bein rav Rabbi Chanina. So what is the difference between Rav and Rabbi Chanina and Lamaisa? Well, obviously the difference is if it's disgusting. It's according to Rav. Look, if it's really badly used, you're not going to drink water in it. And he doesn't agree that it's considered to be a normal usage. If, I mean, this is not Winston Churchill who brings his bathtub with him to the battlefront and has a whole bunch of various skin lotions and so on. Nobody carries around skin lotion to the war. And therefore, if it's not going to be drinkable, it's not considered to be usable in war to be tamei. And between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, the difference would be, look, it's a heavy shoe, you ain't going to run with it. And because that, if it's yakir, if it's too heavy, then it would not be mekabel tuma. Okay, moving on to the Mishnah. V'lo b'yirshel zahav. So we're now past the issues of tuma v'tayra for a while, and we want to know what the yirshel zahav is. My yirshel zahav. Rabba bar bar chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, The Ir Shel Zahav is the Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. You know the thing, everybody knows the famous Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. Kiryav Adlai Rabbi Akiva Ledevito, the famous thing that Rabbi Akiva had made for his wife. Now, Tanya Rabbanan, Lo Tetzei Isha B'Ir Shel Zahav, V'inyatzta Chayevet Chatat, the mayor holds, the Tosas HaRosh explains what possible reason is there to be B'Chayevet Chatat. He says because a tachshit that is really heavy and uncomfortable to wear is not considered to be a malbush. It's just considered to be show-off. So therefore, it's not really any different than walking around with a sign that says, I am beautiful. If you walk around with a sign, I am beautiful on Shabbat, that's carrying. It's not considered to be a tachshit. So the same thing is true over here. It's a very heavy thing. And, you know, you just put in an appearance, you know, at a fancy wedding or something. There are earrings that will tear your ear off after
a while.
That's true.
Very opulent coats.
So according to Rabbi Meir, it's not even considered to be clothing, and therefore it's really a chiyuv chatat. Look, don't go out, but im yatzta ptura for the classic reason. It's only gzeirah d'rabbanan. We're afraid she'll take it off and then she'll carry it. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, no, you can even wear it lechatchila. What's the problem? There's a really extreme machloket here. Yotza isha b'ir shel zahav lechatchila. Now let's try to understand what the machloket is. But Micah, if the Rabbi Meir Savar, as we explained, that it's a masui. It's just too uncomfortable to be considered a tachshit or malbush. Rabbanan Savre, no, it's a, listen, people will tolerate an awful lot of pain to show off, so it's really a tachshit, but certainly it's the kind of thing you might take off to show, especially when it's crushing your skull. So deal mashal for makriyala, in which case shall be atala to yarva amot b'shut rabbim, which is constantly our problem. Rabbi Eliezer says, now let me ask you something. Who wears an ir shel zahav? Queen Elizabeth? She's going to take it off to show her friend. Here, look at my pretty crown. I mean, can you just imagine? So
she's apparently very friendly.
She's not going to take off. So therefore, we're not going to say that Isha Chashuva. That's the only kind of person that's going to go with the Ir Shel Zahav. Isha Chashuva lo mishlfa umachya. There's no way she's going to take something off of her head and show it around. I mean, it's absolutely low class and extreme. Kalila. All right. So how about a crown like thing? Which is the question over here is how exactly you wear these things. They connected all the way around with the ritzua, as opposed to the hanging things we were talking about earlier, which run across the far, they hang down from your hat. So this goes across, it's like a crown like affair. And there we have number of shitot. So Rav, Asar, Shmuel is matir. Now look, de aniska, if you're talking about something that's made out of metal, which is really cautious, it's silver, it's gold, there for sure everybody agrees. Kuliyam lo pligi de asar. Ki pligi de arukta. What we want to know is where you have something that's made out of cloth, but it's got a lot of decorations on it, stones and filigree and so on. The question is whether that's chashuv enough to show around. So Mar Savra Niska Ika. One Mandi Omer says, look, I mean, the fact that it's embedded on a ritzua of cloth doesn't lower its value to such an extent that she's not going to show it off. The Niska, the metal part, the valuable part, that's what she's still going to show off. And the other Mandi Omer says, it's mutter, because, look, everybody knows, you know, it's not a real diamond, and therefore you don't show it off. It doesn't matter how pretty it glitters. So all that glitters is not gold. And Mar Savar Arukta Iker. Rav Ashi actually says it the other way around. Rav Ashi Mati Lekula. He reads that as Darukta Kuliyam Lo Pligi D'Shari. On the contrary, everybody is modest. That means that we could find a case that Rav, even though Rav says it's Osir over here, according to him, Rav would have said it's Mutter in an Arukta. And the only Machlokes, where Shmuel is saying that it's Mutter, Rav is saying it's Osir. So over there we're talking about the Aniska. The obvious explanation of why Rav Osirs is because of our constant refrain of Dilma Shalfa Mafia. She may take it off to show it, and then Atila Tuyek, and I shall carry it. Whereas Mar Savar, Shmuel says no, even if it's made out of solid gold, it's not a problem. Because of the same reason we said before, the Ir Shel Zahav, Mandar Kala Mefik Beklilia, who can afford that kind of thing? Only an Isha Chashuva. And an Isha Chashuva would find it very low class to be Shalfa Umachia, and therefore low Shalfa Umachia.
This is Nilo Rit.
Exactly.
Unless.
Even in the powder room?
This wasn't powder room. No, yeah. We're not talking about indoors. We're talking about outdoors.
So the powder room might.
Yeah, well, that doesn't matter. I mean, even Queen Elizabeth has one of those. I was told. Amalei Rishmo Babrachana L'Rav Yosef, and of course, remember that Rav Yosef had forgotten his mimut when he became ill. So he told him, tried to remind him. You know, before you got ill, Beferish Amartalam Rishmei Rav, you taught us in Rav's name that a klilia is mutter. And therefore, if Rav here says the Kalilia is usher, the only possibility is to read this the way the Rav Ashi read it, the Kula, that there is a case where even Rav would be motivated that it's mutter, which is the Arukta, not like the original Lashon, which is the Chumrat, there's a case where Shmuel would be motivated that it's usher. Because otherwise, what you taught us in the name of Rav would for sure not make any sense. Omle the Rav, they told Rav, they come into his office, a Gavra Rava Aricha has arrived in Nahardah. Now, once we're talking about all that glitters is not gold, we also need to know that Strider has arrived in Nahardah. Well, a tall, lanky, and very important person has come to Nahardah and Mitla. He limps. And he taught, I don't know his name, but Darash Kalila Shari. He says that it's mutter to wear a crown. I wonder why he said that. Oh my, so Rav says to himself. Now wait a minute, who would that? Ah! Man Gavra Rav Aricha Deidla. I only know one person that fits that description. Levi! Now what would Levi be doing here? The only explanation is that Rabbi Appas died. What happened is that when Rebbe was dying, Rebbe gave over and he said that Reb Chanina Bar Chama is going to be the Rosh Hashiva. Reb Chanina Bar Chama was extremely distressed by that because Reb Appas was 2 years and a half, 2.5 years older than him. It's an amazing story. 2.5 years older and I'm going to be the Rosh Hashiva and he's not? That's outrageous, you know. For heaven's sakes, I'm a youngster, I'm only 98. So because of that, he refused the position. So Rabbi Appas went ahead and took the position. Now, Levi didn't want that, even though Rav Appas was the Rosh Hashiva, but Levi had nothing really to get, even though we find, of course, the whole story that this is a problem that Levi did this. But Levi's kavana over here was he did not want Rabbi Chanina to be sitting out there on his own, because certainly he wouldn't go in to Shir. I mean, Rabbi Chanina had nothing to get from Rabbi Appas. So Levi stayed outside. And he would sit and he would learn B'chavruzza. So what must have happened, says Rav, is that Rabbi Appas died and now Rabbi Chanina became Rosh Hashiva. And that left Levi with nobody to learn with, because Rabbi Chanina was his chavruzza, but he wasn't going to go in to learn from Rabbi Chanina as the Rosh Hashiva. And because of that, he's come here. Rekati Lahav. So he's come here to learn. But how do you know that's what happened? Maybe Rabbi Chanina dies. And Rabbi Appas, now he didn't have a chavrusa because Rabbi Chanina died. And Rabbi Appas was still Rosh Hashiva. V'lo havalei initially Levi, the mate of Gabe, and Levi had no chavrusa, v'kati l'ach. And that's why he came here. No, since it's ridiculous. If Rabbi Chanina had died, Levi had no problem of going into Rabbi Appas. He would have been mikif kavi kayafle. Rabbi Appas was older than him. He was of the same age as Rabbi Chanina, Levi. So for him to go in and to learn by Rabbi Appas, who's 2.5 years older, what's the bizarre in that? He's a big boy. I'm just a newcomer. So because of that, that couldn't have been what happened. Not to mention the fact, obviously, Rabbi Chanina could not have died because Rebbe said he wouldn't. Rebbe said that he was going to be Rosh Hashiva. So how could he possibly have died before he became Rosh Hashiva? So Rabbi Chanina lo sagi delo malich, he couldn't have died before becoming Rosh Hashiva. Tichi avika necha nafshe to Rebbe. When Rebbe was dying, he said that Achanina b'Rebbe chamez yativ b'rosh. And we know that the Pasuk says about Sadikim, v'tig zar omer v'yokem lach. You say something, God sees to it that it becomes true. So how could he not have become Rosh Hashiva? Therefore, I really only have one option. That's got to be Levi had come here because of the death of Rav Appas and moving Rebbe Chanina up, which left him with nowhere to go. Dorash Levi ben Nahardah, so in Nahardah, which was not a rich town, he went out and he said at Shabbos Drasha, these kalilias are mutter to wear on Shabbat. And again, the reason being that an Isha Chashuv is the only one who would wear one. The entire city produced 24 kalilias. So there were 24 people, Mikula Nahardah, that wore kalilia. Rabba Bar Avua darshan this in Los Angeles, in Mechuza, that a kalila is sharu. And 18 kliliot came out from one single mavoi, I mean, of which there were thousands in Mechuza, and there was definitely a different way of dressing in Mechuza. So maybe in Lakewood, that's sort of like that. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav should be the Girsa, or Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Sheshes, or Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, but probably just Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. The din is that a camera is mutter, which is strange. We don't take pictures actually without a camera. A kamara. A kamara is a fancy belt which has in it stripes of gold and various rubies and things like that that a woman uses to use as a belt. So a kamara is mutter. Now, some say this is talking about where the ikar belt is not valuable. It's talking about ikariyame diarukta. It's really talking about where it's not all that kosher. If it's made out of leather, it's made out of material. And as Rav Safra points out, look, don't people walk around with midiravi atalit? Who said that? People walk around with a regular talit, and they have these real fancy atarot on them and so on, right? And there's no chashash over there that you're going to take it off. Now, over here, when you're wearing a belt, you know, you're going to take off your belt. You're not going to take off your belt, and therefore there's no chashash of carrying it. Others say that, no, it's talking about really a whole metal thing, and nonetheless, it's what Rav Safra said, yes, it's just like Avnecha Milachim, which are entirely of gold, but this is something that is suitable for the usage, as Rashi says, all Yisrael are B'nai Milachim, and it would again be inappropriate to take off the belt. I mean, it's really your belt. And therefore, it would be okay to go on with it. Amar Ravina Ravashi, how about if you put a kamara above your normal belt, your gartel? Kamura ila yimani mai. I mean, basically, you're asking if you put one belt on top of another, then the other belt is certainly not serving any purpose, and it would be considered to be a masui. That's how, right, one shot anyway in Rashi goes. Amar Ravashi, the rasuka, if it's mifarchai shari vilo asur. So this is a what we call a my wife for a small time just put the, you know, the
shawl.
A shawl, thank you. Gosh, a shawl is mutter. I said, but don't shawls fall off all the time? And yes, that's why it has to have a clasp. These are like ritzuot with Velcro at the end, you know, and they hold it in place. So only if it has that is it mutter. It's clearly a type of clothing. That would be fine, as long as it's not the kind of thing that falls off. So even mifrachaita, if it has these little short clips on the side, ritzuot on the side is mutter, and if not, it's awesome.
Would that apply to talus as well?
It's always talking about that last week. That's why people wear those clips, really. I mean, in here where there's a rubim all over, it's not such a big deal. But I mean, obviously, a shawl is much smaller than the normal talit. It's much easier to follow. Okay, then we said that Abiyotz with the ketala. What exactly is a katla that we have a kashasha? It's a menach kaperi. It's a bib. It's a regular bib. It gathers together the crumbs, like the berry. Nizamim, we are not talking about earrings. We're talking about nose rings. And the reason is that she may take off the nose ring to show, but she won't take off an earring to show. Because in order to take off an earring, she's going to have to deal with all of the hair that is curled around her ear and pull up the thing on her head, and we said she never does that. And therefore, it's not a problem. But nizme'af is a problem. And she can't go out with a ring, even if that ring does not have a stamp on it. If it has a stamp on it, I understand that it's not a suitable tachshit. It's not something that a woman would find to be particularly expressive of her femininity, at least not in those days. So in other words, the mashmaut is, and Stosis points out really being similar on the end of the sugya that backs us up, that if it did have a chotam, and a woman walks out with a signet ring, then it would be considered to be just carrying something around. Because in the same way that you understand, if you walk around with a stamper, you're carrying, that adding a little ring to the stamper is not going to turn it into a tachshit. That's exactly what's happening to a ring, which generally by a male is worn as a tachshit, but not by a woman, and therefore, if she's carrying it around, it's like carrying around a stamper. And therefore, it would be a natural chiyuv chatat. But that what you're telling me, therefore, is that ama lav takshetu. You're telling me that it does not serve the purpose of kishut. By the way, you see the relationship of this entire sugya, which is very complex. Many, many tshuvas written about it, to the wristwatch problem, in which something is a takshit which serves a particular purpose and is not considered to be carrying around a clock with you and ought to be mutar and so on, not something you would take off. Fine, that's the surface level of it. In any event, our problem is that it says b'feirush, takshitei nashim timeim. So the Mishnah in Kalim teaches that various decorative things that women wear are tamei, and the following are considered to be takshitei nashim, which are tamei. Katlaot, nizamim, tabaot, and a tabaat means ben sheyesh aleichot ben she'ein aleichot. And here it says that it's considered to be takshitei nashim, and therefore is mekabel tuma. Then is me'av. Amar Rabbi Zera, that is not really a problem, because we know that there's a famous machloket between Rabbi Nechemia and the Rabbanan about whether we view things in terms of their underlying material or in terms of their surface material. So, where we have a question, where you have a ring which is made out of metal, a golden ring, and the chotemet of the ring is made out of almog. Now, almog, despite the fact that it obviously is not really wood, has a din of wood because its appearance, almog is coral, because its appearances, for all intents and purposes, is woody. So we view it as a type of wood, not a type of organism. And wood's if the chotemet...
What? Wood's not a type of organism?
No, not a type of living organism. In other words, not a sea creature, which might be...
Oh!
Yeah. So the chotema, being almog... Huh?
It was, but now it's not.
Yeah, right now it's just like a tree, basically. Yeah. So the almog, therefore, wouldn't be mekabel tuma because it doesn't have any beit kibul, and the deal is that pshute kli eitz, and not mekabel tuma. Kli eitz is only mekabel tuma if it carries something. And being a signet doesn't give you anything to carry. So if the chotemet is almog, then the deal is it's tame. Why? Because the underlying ring is gold. But if the ring itself is a coral ring that has a gold seal, then it would be tahor, because we would look at what's underneath. Rabbi Nechemia is metame, because Rabbi Nechemia says, look, if you're wearing a ring, you look at the part of the ring that's functional, which is the chotemet, and that defines what it is that is the din of the tumah. If you have, let's say, an os, or a yoke. So if you have a yoke, the yoke is workable because it has these metal pieces that stick through it coming from the side that are attached to the animal, or the thing that it's pulling on the side. And as Rashi explains it, in those days they had very, very simple yokes. It was just a plain piece of wood, and it had a place for the studs of metal, the ends of the poles that were attached to what it was pulling. You would put it through, and then you would screw it in. And that's all. So there you go, according to the Alech HaSamlonav. The Samlonav are those poles. See, if they're made out of metal, so then it's considered to be a metal clue. Bikolav, if you have, this is the source of the modern Hebrew word for hanger, because essentially that's what a kolav is, not when we say hanger, a particular shape pops into our head, and it doesn't mean that shape. The kolav in the Gemara is a thing that hangs things on. But it's a wooden support for hooks, and basically people who would be selling, you could see lots of them outside in the Rova, they put down this amud of wood, and then they hang all those little things on it, on the little... That's a kolav. Obviously, our kolav is also a type of kolav, sort of backward kolav, because it hangs, and then something's put on it, which is the opposite of the kolav here, but it's certainly good enough to borrow the word in modern Hebrew. So, bikolav, you go according to the thing that's doing the hanging, and that's the masmerim. In those days, they use masmerim, the hooks. Bisulam, well, you're going up the sulam, obviously, on the shlivotah. You're going out on the steps of the sulam. So, if they're made out of metal, and it's aluminum, so then it would be mekabel tuma. If it's wood, it doesn't have a beit kibul. Be'arsa, if you're talking about a scale, large scale that has these things hanging down, and you put things into the two parts of the scale on either side. So you go according to the shalshalot, whatever the shalshalot, usually obviously they're made out of metal, then it would be makabel tuma. The Chachamim say, no, none of this is true. The rule is you always go according to that which is the support system. What's the support system of the ring? Obviously not the signet. The ring holds the signet. The support system of the yoke. Well, those poles do absolutely nothing. They have to be plugged into the wooden piece that holds them in place. So they are the support system. It is the support system for this salmunah, and not vice versa. The kolav is what supports the masmerim, yes, and therefore the kolav would be the ikar, not the masmerim. The sulam is what gives the support to the shlivot of the sulam. And the same thing would be true of the scale. The support of the scale is the upper piece that holds, that moves up back and forth, not the shalshalot. Everything goes according to the mami. So therefore, okay, that means it's about klipsu, the femia, and the rabban, and about how to look at the ring. Do we look at the ring as a golden ring? What do I care if it's got a signet? If it's a golden ring, then it's a takshin. Okay, then that would explain why it'd be makabel tuma. Whereas over here we're saying, no, it's really a signet. Rava says, no. No. The Mishnah over here, even though it started off saying, Elohim takshitei nashim, and it gives a list of takshitei nashim, and then it throws in as a parenthetical comment, whether it has a signet or doesn't have a signet, that was not referring back to takshitei nashim. It was truly a parenthetical comment, meaning, whether Yesh le'achot, and it's a of course that it's only a takshit for a male, but he's going to make clear that any ring could be mekabel tuma, and then it would be takshitei di'isha. Now let's get back to our discussion of takshitei isha. But certainly, the Mishnah doesn't mean to imply that it's considered to be takshitei isha if it has a signet. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar, will you explain what the heck you're talking about over here? Tuma, Shabbat, Karamita. What in the world does one have to do with the other? We're talking about a question of whether something is considered to be a carrying type of malbush. Now, what in the world does that have to do with the question of whether it's considered to be a kli, to be makabel tuma? To be makabel tuma, the description of the Kabbalat tuma, where was our place? Back at Klei Midyan again. What does it say in the Pasuk, Vayikach Moshe ve'Elazar HaKohen et ha'zahav ve'itam kol kli ma'aseh? Kli ma'aseh, Omar Achmana. Do I care whether it's technically a takshit for Shabbos? Is this a useful ring or is it not? What's the difference? What the sex is of the wearer? It's a kli ma'aseh. So if the woman wants to seal a letter, she wears the ring and seals the letter. I don't understand what that has to do with Shabbos. Majain came over here, Shabbat is Mishum Matsui. There's a question of whether this is something that you generally wear or not. And it's not something that she generally wears. So Mishum Matsui Am Rachmana. Because of that, Eid Alea Chotam, it's something she wears as part of Malbush, not usage. Yesh Alea Chotam, she won't wear it. And therefore, it's a Matsui. Nor can she go out carrying a machat that has no hole in it. What in the world is that good for? Lomai Chazi, you're saying it's not considered to be a masui. It serves as some kind of takshit. What is that? Omer of Yosef, hoil v'yishal geret basara. Well, you take this little pin, okay? You twirl whatever little bits of hair is sticking out from under your head. And then, as Tosis explains, you push it into your head. And that keeps everything in place. So it's like a happen. Says, Abai, I understand. So then, why in the world can't she wear it? You can wear a garter belt on Shabbos, if anybody remembers what those were, before the discovery of nylon, or pantyhose. V'davi ki birit Torah v'tishtere. Why can't it be like a birit? A birit is a garter belt that keeps socks, stockings up. And it serves a pro. Who the heck is going to take off a garter belt of Rishis Rami? And who the heck is going to uncover the hair that was coming all out and take out the needle in the middle of Rishis Rami?
Acupuncture.
Well, that's going to be the Gemara's teretz again. So it should be mutter. Ella, Tir Gemara Ravada Narsha, only someone that's Narish would say that. Kameder of Yosef, Hovisha Choleket Ba Sa'ara. A woman uses it to split hairs.
To make a part.
So, but I mean, she doesn't do that. This is how Rashi learns. But she doesn't do that on Shabbos. Isn't it usher to split your hair on Shabbos? Because it says, Mapitam. Where did Rashi get that from? How do you know it's usher to make a part in your hair on Shabbos? Why does Rashi say that? I mean, and anyway, how in the world is something that you use, and if she has a brush, so therefore she could carry it around on Shabbos? Well, I understand. It's just a thing that you use. That doesn't turn it into... Something's very funny over here. Maybe. If the kasha is, the way Rashi understands it, the kasha is, It's a masui. So how does, and therefore, why isn't it really a masui? You're chayav chatat. So, and how does saying, well, it's a hairbrush, how does that change anything, says Tosfos? I don't understand how Rashi learns this sugya at all. The Gemara never addresses that cholekit osara, so because of that is on a masui? Is that a takshit? No. So Tosfos understands the Gemara's question is, stam, why does a woman generally go out with these things that then we should turn it into a thing that she would do on Shabbat? Is it purely a tashmish that she has from it, or is there some element of tashin in it? So the question over here, b'Shabbat l'may chaz, is not you don't cut your hair on Shabbos, you don't part your hair on Shabbos, why wouldn't you part your hair on Shabbos? The question is, but what turns it into a tashin for Shabbos? And therefore, Rava explains, look, on the top of this needle, there's a little decorative, you know, either a piece of gold or a little decorative stone or something. And then that makes it look good. So there's a Tasha Zav Yeshal Rosha. So it's true that during the week, it's like one of these Shabbos belts. I mean, nobody would wear a belt that's made out of a key. But if you do that on Shabbos and you decorate it with a belt, then it becomes part of your malbush and so on. So the same thing would be true over here. Bichol, she's cholekit basara. B'Shabbat, she's menichata neged padachta. There she puts it across her, plugs it into her head again, and lets it shine.
So she uses it as a tachshin on Shabbos, basically.
Yeah, right. And therefore, we obviously weren't coming to answer is usher. We're coming to answer what purpose is tachshin. It's bar nami amar b'yosef b'chanin olvu ro'ui la kishoa gabi cheres. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Hover Oilegamea Bobayim Litinok. What? But that's not music. Rabbi Yochanan Loboy, Mein Lacharishona, Viatania, Vichol Kliashiri, Yesheva Alav, Yoko Kafasa Avia Shavala, Kafatar Kavia Shavala, Yehitame, Tablon Rasha, Yesheva Alav Azab, Mijem Yuchadli Yeshiva, Yatazda Shomrimlo, Amod, Venasevalachtenu, Rabbi Elazar, Omer, this is a din unique to Midrasot. There, omrim amod v'nasem malachteinu ve'in omrim b'tamei meit amod v'nasem malachteinu. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan afomer b'tamei meit amod v'nasem malachteinu, which means that here, according to Rabbi Yochanan, a non-standard usage does not maintain the tumah of the kli. So how do you explain turning a bell into a baby cup? Well, I guess you're right. Epoch kamaita. He didn't say that. Ma'ichazita farta kamaita. Epoch bat raita, because Hashem inilei Rabbi Yochanan, that he definitely requires me'in malach harishona. The Tanya sandal shel be'ima, shel matechet tabe, l'may chazia, omar rav roi l'shtot po mayim b'milchama. Obviously not its original use. Rabbi Chanina omar roi l'such bo shemen b'milchama. Who's going to drink from it? Rabbi Yochanan omar, b'sha'a shebo reach min akrav, you use it as a shoe. So it's still a shoe. And minicho baraglav v'ratza lakotzim v'labarkanim. And my ben Rav l'Rabbi Chanina ikibineo demoyis. And ben Rabbi Chanina l'Rabbi Yochanan ikibineo diyakir. Lo bi'ir shozav, my ir shozav, Rav l'Rabachan l'Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim didehava. Giri abba the Rabbi Akiva l'Rabbitu. Tene Rabba, lo tetze isha v'ir shozav, yatzta chayevat chatakti v'Rabbi Meir. Too heavy to be considered a malbush. Nachal Rami Lotet say, but he may stop to rock, she may take it off. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yotzai, Shabbi Yerushal Zav Lechat Chila. But my comments again, Rabbi Meir Savra Masuyo, Rabbanan Savri Takshito, Dilma Shafa Umach Kulevatela Tuye. Rabbi Eliezer Savra Manda Kala Mefik Beershal Zahav, Ishachashuva, Ishachashuva, Mishafa Machvia. Klila, Rava Sarfishmul Shari De Aniska Kuleamalo Pligidiasa. Ki pliga de Arukta. Mar Sava, well, still the Niska part is the Yikr. Umar Sava, the Arukta Zikr, it's who wants to show that off? It just shows that you're wearing phony diamonds. Ravashi Matni Lakula, the Arukta Kuleamalo Pligia Shari. Only an Isha Chashuva lo shalfa umachya. Listen, beferish amarta lan, before you got sick, mishmeid rab, that a klila is shari, so it's gotta be that we're gonna be mefarish as lakula in order to maintain your original pshat. Who could that be? Man gavra rabba richtet, wavy! Shwamina nach nafshid rabafis, viyatid rabichanina bereisha, and poor lady had nobody to sit by, and therefore kati lahacha. How do you know that? Dilma nach nafshid rabichanina, and then he lost his chavrusa. And maybe rabafis is doing perfectly well. You know, you're already being maspid rabafis. So he was katilach. No. Immediately Rabbi Chanina shachim, Levi would certainly have gone into the shir of Rabbi Afis. The two, Rabbi Chanina could not possibly have died because it would have violated Rabbi. Lo sagi de lo molech, to keyavi kanecha, nafshe de Rabbi. Omar Chanina b'Rabbi Chama, yotiv b'rosh. The chativu b'tzadikim v'tig zar omar v'yokam lach. Dorash Levi bin Arda, Klila Shari and Nafik Esrin the Arbak Lilia from the entire Narada. Dorash Rabba Baravua bin Mafusa, Klila Shari and Nafka Twani se Krila Michadamavua. Omravira Omarav, Kamara Shari, Ikidamida Rukta, Yomra Safi, it's not going to be any more common than a Talit Musaba. And Ikidamre Aniskan, Omra says it's not going to be any different than an Abde Shimalafi. Omale Rabino Ravashi, how about wearing a kamara aluyanai on above your belt line? Meaning above, that is to say, on it. Omale, what? Talking about Trey Amaine kamar? Omale Ravashi, hai rasuka ite mafricha yishori vilo asu. Vilo be katala, what's a katala? Aman katapari. Nizamim refers not to earrings, but to nizmeh af. Lo betabachin al achotam, ayesh al achotam, you'd actually chayav a chatat, which means, clearly, that alma lav takshitu. But the problem is, Raminu, it says beferish in the Mishnah that takshitei nashim are tmeim, and identifies the following things as takshitei nashim, katvot, nizamim, tabaot. And when I say tabaot, I mean, continues the Mishnah, tabat ben shiyesh al achotam, Ben Sheinon Yakutam, Vinizmea Av, Amribi Zerlo Kasha. Harbi Lechem Yarabonim. Well, what is the ikur of the ring? Titania, Yisha Matechavichut Mashal Al Mog. So then it's Tmeyahi, because Matechat is Makabal Tumor without a bait keeper. Yisha Al Mog, Vichut Mashal Matechat is Torah. Whereas Rabbi Nechemia says, no, it's a Tame, because Rabbi Nechemia said, when it comes to a Tabat, the ikur is the signet, not the ring. You have an ol. The ikur is the samlonav that attached the ol to the plow. The kolot, kolot, acharmas mirotav. I mean, that was doing the hanging. The sulam, alecha chashlivotav. The arsa, alecha chashashalotav on a scale. The chachamim only never. Hakol alecha char hamami. Rabba Omar, there's no problem. The Mishnah starts by talking about tachitei nashim. And then goes off a little bit on a tangential comment about whether Yeshua Akotam or not. So it's saying Yeshua Akotam is Takshite the Ish, that's what's talking. Eilah Akotam Takshite Isha. Rakhava Yitzchak Amar. I don't understand the whole problem. Tuma Shabbat Kramita. Tuma is a function of Kli Maaseh, Om Rachmana. And it is a Kli. Shabbat, now, of course, as Tosafot points out, Reb Nachman is also saying that the words takshitei isha do not refer to the ring, which is a man's ring, and that it's a parenthetical comment in terms of ben sheyeshla, ben sheinola, but that's merely a semantic issue. We're not going to call it a taksha, but it is a kli, it's not really an issue at all. And Shabbat is mishum masui am rachmana. Ina leachotam takshit, yesh leachotam masui. Velo babakat she'ina nekuva. The Maikaz, the owner of Yosef Isha, Ogeret Basara, Omele Abaye so, then it should be mutter. It's no different than a garter belt, a beard. It's Torah of a tishtere. Ela tirgim aravada narsha, kamele Rav Yosef, ha'ovisha choleket basara b'shabbat. No Maikazia, but what makes it a takshit is the way Tosfos learns, or you can't do that on Shabbat, so why isn't it a masri? Rashi learns, Amar Rav Tav shel zav yesh la rosha bechol choleket basara b'shabbat minichata keneged padakta, and it shines very beautifully.
Today's daf is daf Nuntes, and we were having a bit of a problem trying to understand what it is that, how it is that an inbo is central to the zug, the bell, and how it is that if you detach the clapper from the bell, that under certain circumstances it is considered to be a kli, and under other circumstances it isn't considered to be a kli. We found this very confusing. We originally began with the kli of a behemoth. That's how we got into the whole issue. We're trying to figure out why in one case it's saying that if it's an inbush of a behemoth, it's certainly not mekabel tumah. And on the other hand, it says the Pirush and the Mishnah that show behemah is mekabel tumah, as long as, because anything that's a kli adam is considered, contrasted with a doorbell. A doorbell is not mekabel tumah because it's mechubar to the house. But a bell on a behemoth is considered to be no different than our famous dancing bear baton. It's used for kli adam. So there we came up with the interesting idea that a kli can be defined by its ability to make music. We learned that from the word daba, diba. Okay, so that made sense. But then we got into the question of the clothing that contains little bells on it, that, as distinguished from something that is worn by an adult. And we said that over there, the children like the bells, and that's why it is that we have something the yuchad. If it doesn't have a clapper, then it's a problem. If it's the color of it, mashen kena gadol is a takshit. That's where basically we have three levels: a bell that is made for its communication. So there, if it doesn't ring, it's useless. And that's a kli ma'aseh bel, without a kli kibel. You want the kibel in it completely. We're only interested in the fact that it's a usable instrument to let a human know where his animal is. Okay, that makes it a kli. Then we had the other extreme, in which it's a tafshit. We couldn't care less whether it makes music or not. All we're interested in is how it looks. That was the case of the yevet, it's the gabet tumah. It doesn't matter whether it actually works. That was a gabet tumah, by the way. With gabet shabbos, it was a completely different set of concerns, because by behemah we have the question of whether it looks like you're taking the animal to market. It's a whole different problem, which is the kalim of gabet, even kalim on a behemah, even tafshitim, even malbushim, where we don't want to do anything that looks like kinga, like you're going to the market. And by an adam, the concern that we would have would only be if it's something that would possibly fall off, which over there, if it's on the neck, it can fall off. In the case of the beged, we said, it's talking about where it's professionally manufactured with the beged, woven into the beged, there's no chashash that it's going to fall off. So it's the chalal we've been having, and it's getting worse, and it's going to get worse today, which we finally come to the crunch. I think we'll get to it today, I hope we'll get to it today. We'll come to the crunch and finally speak out that it's wrong to make too much of a parallel between the dinim of kalim for Shabbat and the dinim of kalim for tumah. So far we haven't mixed our metaphors, and we understand that we've got a completely different set of concerns when it comes to Otzah of Shabbos, and we do in defining the nature of a kli when it comes to the Tyre. Okay, so again, we have the distinctions l'gabe Shabbat, we have the distinctions l'gabe the type of inbo for Kabbalah's tumah. The question that was bothering the Gemara yesterday and that leads us to today's sugya is, why does it say nitlu in b'lehem adayin tumatan aleihem? They're still considered to be tamei, despite the fact that the inbal is no longer attached, even in those cases where it was made for the noise value of it. As the children like to have the sound, so elam inbal torim, nitlu in b'lehem adayin tumatan. We said that according to Rashi, we have over here a middle class in which initially, if you have something that wasn't workable, it wouldn't be mekabel tumah. But now, it was mekabel tumah while it was workable. I detached the inbal, it's no longer workable. So if l'chatchila wasn't mekabel tumah, it wouldn't be mekabel tumah. But the question is a detached inbal sufficient to be considered shvirat hakli? And now it will not retain the tumah that it had on it before, it's kelim that are nishbarim, do not retain their tumah. And we have yet a third level in which a kli is completely destroyed and will even lose the tumah that's on it. We mentioned yesterday that Tosfos disagrees that that's the Chad Nagamari. He doesn't believe that there's this middle thing. And he says the difference is that if it didn't have the inbal in the first place, it was still called a golem. And golem make kli matechet, unfinished kelim, and a kabel tumah. We don't need to make up a third class. But Tosfos himself had to admit that in fact in the Tosefta, it seems clear that there is a whole different area of kelim that were makabel tumah and are not broken to the extent that they will lose their tumah. They're not functional then. So let's assume that we're talking about this middle stage. We're going to continue to talk about the middle stage today. We were worried about why it's not considered to be broken. That was the question yesterday. Removal of an inbal, as our president suggested, is the ultimate breakage of a musical instrument. It can't make music. So, I mean, what's the point? So we had a number of approaches yesterday. And this related bichlal to something that we've already seen in our Masechta a number of times. Remember, we had the question before. We bring it up once again about the scissors in which they're meant to be removed in order to be oiled and stored, and so you put them back together again, or the carpenter's plane. So we brought it up once again. I mean, these things are considered to be chibur b'chora only at the time that they're actually connected. If you take them apart, they're not considered to be a chibur. Why, therefore, is this thing not going to lose its tumah? And so, one approach that we had was, because it isn't really removed in a way that can't be put back by anybody. So a hedyot is able to restore it. A hedyot's able to restore it, doesn't make any difference anymore, and it's not considered to be broken. Okay. On the other hand, if it's not mechubar, it's not ready to be mekabel tumah. So we have this middle stage. Rava suggested yesterday, it was the last thing we read yesterday, Ela Amar Rava, we can repeat it again, first line on our page, Hoyel v'ra'ui l'hakisho al gabei cheres. You cannot consider it to have lost its functionality, because a bell without a clapper is no different than a non-safety match without a box. It's usable. It's not as conveniently usable. You could take it, you bang it on something, you bang it on something, it makes noise. So therefore, it's not considered to be broken. We have the same type of thing where we find kalim that have holes in them. So you made it originally to be a punchbowl, and now it gets a hole in it. It's still usable to serve candies in, because the candies won't run out to the hole. So over there, you don't have the loss of a tumah, because it still serves the same general function that it served before. So here too, we're going to explain now the entire thing. We'll say, a behema bell without a clapper is not considered to be a bell. Because the only way that an animal's bell would be a kli, ma'aseh, or an adam, is if it's being used for communicating to the adam. If it's not used for communicating, it's not usable, then it's considered to be tameh. Right? Otherwise, and what else is it going to be? Well, gabi shabbos, that's our other question. An adult doesn't require an inbel at all. For him, it's a kli because it's a decoration. It's also a type of kli. It doesn't have to be a kli ma'aseh. It can be a beged. So it's a type of beged. It's also a makabel tumah. And then we had the children bell that we spoke about before, depending on whether the clapper is attached now or not attached. So we say, if it never had a clapper attached to it, so then it certainly is an unfinished kli. But if it had a clapper attached to it, and it was makabel tumah, so then it will not lose its tumah because there are shiurim, again, this is Rashi's chat, there are shiurim in breakage. The different levels of breakage. This is not considered to be a breakage to lose tumah. It's only considered to be that it's not the kli that it was meant to be. Now, obviously, if lechatchila, you made a punch bowl, and now it had a hole in it. So according to Rashi, this is the middle stage. It won't be makabel tumah, but it won't lose its tumah. On the other hand, obviously, if you now take this broken punch bowl and you make it into a candy dish, so kol hakelim ha'yorvim de tumat tandem b'chshavah. Once you decide to use it as a candy dish, it's now a completely whole kli again, presto, despite the fact that it has a hole in it. It's a holy candy dish. Okay, that's fine. So that would be according to Rashi's pshat, the way to do it. I must tell you that there's a devastating girsa problem in Rashi, and Rashi seems to have gone back on his own pshat. But many indeed say that it was a mistaken girsa, and we have to put it back. You just want to take a look in Rashi just to feel the sense of the connection to the sugya. At the end of the long Rashi on top of the daf, so what he says over there is, five lines up from the end of that Rashi, b'shelo haya lo in ba'mi olam, d'lo nigmar malachtan. So then there's certainly Torim, right? That's would not be makabel tumah. Nitilu in b'lehem, and here is where we get into the problem. Nitilu in b'lehem, bein lifnei tumah, bein li'achar tumah, tnaim. Now that doesn't make any sense, because according to Rashi, nitilu in b'lehem would only be tamei if it was li'achar hatumah. Remember, Rashi believes that there's a third stage. This would be all very nice to say according to Tosfos, but according to Rashi, that doesn't make any sense. And indeed, there are those that change the girsa to acharei tumata and only acharei tumata. That would be consistent with Rashi's approach earlier in the sugya. So we have three levels of kabbalas tuma, and we have three different types of usages for an inbal: communication, takshit, and plaything. Plaything that's attached as a takshit to a kli, like the child's bib and so on.
The punchbowl idea, it's not enough that he just keeps it, I was saying.
Not according to Rashi. Yeah. Om Rav Yossi b'Rebbe Chanina. I'm sorry, Yidmar Nami. Om Rav Yossi b'Rebbe Chanina. It's considered not to have lost its shem kli because it's not broken. It still rings. it doesn't ring on its own, so fine, so it'll ring against something else. And here we come to a fascinating issue. Rabbi Yochanan, you can always use a bell without a clapper as a child's cup. It's a small cup, fits into a child's mouth. So what would be better to use than a bell that doesn't have a clapper? It's a broken bell, but it's a perfectly good cup. What are the implications of Rabbi Yochanan's statement? That a kli does not have to perform its function to be a kli, it has to perform a function to be a kli, even though that function is not the initial function for which it was manufactured. Certainly the manufacturer wasn't offering it a combined, one of the modern, just add a clapper and get a bell out of your baby cup kind of idea, in which one thing serves all. So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan holds, the technical term for this is me'ein melacha versus me'ein melacha rishona. So it can still do a type of work. It can do a type of work, meaning it's still a tool. It's a tool for holding water and giving it to a child. But it's not a tool in the same way that it was originally. Originally it was a tool for making noise, and now it's a tool for feeding children. There's no connection between the two. So apparently Rabbi Yochanan holds that you don't need me'ein melacha rishona to be considered unbroken. It doesn't mean it can be considered whole. Again, but it's not broken. No. If it was machshava, then vada would be makabel tuma. The question is what is considered to be broken. So now, apparently, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, therefore, that you don't need melacha rishona, but Rabbi Yochanan himself, unfortunately, has elsewhere made it clear that you do need in melacha rishona, and we have what appears to be a contradiction of Rabbi Yochanan. Ask the Gemara. Are you saying that Rabbi Yochanan lo boi me'ein melacha rishona? That according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's okay as long as you could do something with it, even though it's not its original purpose. Vatanya, we have a braita which will be followed by a machloket in which Rabbi Yochanan has here something to say. So the braita is talking about the pasuk of Mishkat Hazav, Medrasot Hazav. So there it says, and pay close attention to the Lashon Atid that is used in the pasuk. Kol ha-mishkav asher yishkav alav azav. Not asher shachav alav azav. Yitma. V'chol ha-kli asher yeshev alav yitma. And not yashav alav yitma. Why is the Torah using a language of atid where it's not the point of atid? Because it's to teach us that yocho kafa sa'av yashav aleha. Kafa tarkav v'yashav aleha. Yehitamei. You might think that if a zav takes a bucket or a bushel, turns it upside down and sits down on it, and then that bucket or bushel will be in the Kabel Tuma from him as a moshav. Talmud Lomar therefore stresses the Torah Asher Yeshev Alav Azav, that which is meant for the Zav to sit on. But it's only Misha Miuchad Yeshiva. Yatzazer Shabrin Lo, excuse me, sir, will you please get up? We're busy working here. Amod Benasem Alakteno. We're trying to carry fruit and you're sitting on our bucket. So that's not called Asher Yeshev. It's not meant for his. It's the thing that Azov sits on. It's the thing that Azov is sitting on, but it's not what he's going to sit on. Therefore, we use the Lashon Hatid to teach me that it's got to be servicing a human in the same way that it was initially servicing him. So it's not meant for this type of service. So Rabbi Elazar says this whole halakha is limited to Midrasot. It's a special halakha. It occurs only in the Parsha of Zivot. So bin midrasot amrim amod menasem alachtenu. But certainly ein omrim b'tamei meit amod menasem alachtenu. Now it's important to distinguish here between the nature of our concern, which is something that is broken, that has already been mekabel tuma. Remember, this is how Rashi learns the whole sugya. And the case over here of midrasot. Because in midrasot, the type of kli that it is defined legabe kabbalas tuma originally. We're not talking about over here whether it's broken or not. We're talking about what is it. When you have something that's in an oel hamet, now if there's a mate in the oel, everything in the house is considered to be tuma, right? There's nobody's going to say, aha, but those candlesticks weren't meant to be used by a mate, so why would they be makabel tuma from a mate? Nobody has a habamina like that. We understand when the Torah says everything in the house is tuma, it means even the baby clothing is coming, which wasn't meant to be used by the mate for burial or anything like that. So in other words, we do not require that which is matame a thing to be the thing that it was meant to be used for. Now this is a whole brand new issue. We never even dreamt of such a thing. To come along and to say that something will be metabo tuma only when it's used in a way that was the very thing that was metamayit is an outrageous chiddush. Correct? Oh, it's a brand new idea. It has nothing to do with the definition of kalim. So the whole Gemara right now is comparing something that really, on the surface, has nothing to do with our question. Our question is, what defines the nature of a kli, period? Couldn't care less what's metamayit. Once it's a kli, it's included in the set of things that are mekabel tuma. If it's not a kli, it's not, that's all. We have over here a very unique case. Why is it unique? Because the mode in which it's used is the only reason that it's mekabel tuma. Normally, you're mekabel tuma by touching something, would be perfectly okay, or by being in the ohel. It makes no difference whether this is a thing that's meant to be touched or meant to be in the ohel or anything else. But when it comes to midrasot hazav, if a zav touches a kli, suppose a zav would touch this kli, this tarka. Would the Tarkov be Makabal Tuma from the Zav? Gentlemen! Would the Tarkov be Makabal Tuma? Absolutely! Certainly. What level of Tuma would it have? A Rishon Matuma. A Zav is an Avatuma who can be Batami Kalim. And if he touches a bucket, doesn't matter whether the bucket is right side up, but the bucket is upside down, or he touches its inside, or he touches its outside, it's Makabal Tuma from the Zav. But suppose the Zav doesn't touch the bucket. He puts on a glove. And then he touches the bucket. Is the glove, is the bucket going to be Makabal Tuma?
Yes.
No. Because the glove is not an Ava Tuma.
It's a Rishon.
Exactly. And a Kli cannot be Makabal Tuma from a Rishon Tuma. Okay. Now suppose the same gloved Zav sits on this Kli, and he's got a glove on his rear end, which is called pants. Okay. And now, he's not Matame the Kli. But he is. If it's a chair, so why is that? Huh? First of all, he's not touching through Marga. He's touching through Moshav. Moshav doesn't require Nidia. And what's worse is paradoxically, despite the fact that he never came in contact with it, not only is it a Mekabel Tuma, it's even a Ava Tuma. Right? If he touches it, it'll be Batami, a person who touches it. And a person is also only Mekabel Tuma from an Ava Tuma. Okay. So that means that the mode through which the Tuma is now transferred is central to an understanding of the concept of midras. It's different than everything else. There's a specific relationship between the kli that is being makabel the tuma and the adam that's giving him the tuma. Because if I take a candlestick and I sit down on a candlestick, I will not be matamei a candlestick with moshav. Because it's not a moshav. It just happens to be underneath my glove, so to speak, right? And it's not going to be makabel tuma. Therefore, this whole question of amod v'naseh melachteinu comes not to define the kli, but rather comes to define the nature of the relationship of the hishtamshut of the kli to the mishamesh and the mitameh. You're telling me if it's a bucket, I turn it upside down, it's all very nice to claim that you're sitting down on something, but you aren't really. It's no different than sitting down on a candlestick. Okay? Now that has nothing to do with the definition of the kli on the surface. Therefore comes along now, Rabbi Elazar, to say, don't get confused. I mean, the fact that we say that there's such a thing of amod v'naseh melachteinu, we would never, ever suggest that there's such a concept when it comes to tamei meit. For tamei meit, we wouldn't say amod v'naseh melachteinu. We would simply decide. Is it a kli? Nope. If it's a kli, mekabel tuma. It's not a kli, not mekabel tuma. Do I care whether the way in which it was mekabel tuma was the way in which the maid decided to use it? But if it was a cup, it's only mekabel tuma if the maid takes a drink from it. There's no such thing, Nina. Nope. Says Rabbi Yochanan, no, I have a very interesting point to make, says Rabbi Yochanan. My point is that you're 100% right. Nobody in his right mind would think that the mate has to take a drink from a cup in order to become tamei mate. However, there is nonetheless some fallout from this concept of amod v'naseh melachteinu. And indeed we would say, even when it comes to tamei mate, amod v'naseh melachteinu. Now we have to use our imagination. So what's Rabbi Yochanan talking about? It's not being very clear. He certainly doesn't mean to tell us that in Kli Ma'aseh it needs to be defined by the relationship. That's outrageous. Nobody ever heard of such a thing. As it runs against the Pasuk. The Pasuk says everything in the Ohel is Tameh. The only thing that Rabbi Yochanan could mean is that the fallout from the concept of Amod V'naseh Melachteinu will define for us the Bittul of a Kli. If a Kli has a type of usage, Asher Yeshev Alav, that implication, the type of usage for which the kli is miyuad is central to an understanding of its nature of kli, its kliness. So if it will not be able to do ever the thing for which it was manufactured, then it no longer is a kli. It's broken.
The pasuk was like the kli.
Yeah, what is that garbage? Mm-hmm. Let's wait a moment until the smell passes. If it passes, that's true garbage. You can't learn to that. Oh, yeah.
Did we use them?
No. There must be anything.
Close the window?
Yeah, maybe we better close the window and then we'll turn on the air or something.
Washington.
I wouldn't make it smell like that.
Yeah.
The air has a tendency to come to an open door as well, even though it's not massive left. They know. Now we safely lock the garbage in the room. But now it's Ain Loiker.
This is really happy. This is no longer clean. That's how it's not going to be. It's not a clean issue, but it's not.
No, what I'm saying is this: the Torah has fallout from one idea introduced another, because even though it's certainly true that it's only the relationship of the Zav to the Kli that makes the difference, and therefore it's only by Midrasot that we would have such a concern, but it's also true that the Torah is saying that that relationship is defined by its standard usage and not its specific usage. In other words, if I take a bushel and I turn it upside down, don't think it's being used as a bushel, as a chair. It's not being used as a chair. But it is, but it's not. So in other words, what you see is that there's a concept called intended use. Once that concept was introduced by the Torah, says Rabbi Yochanan, then we have no choice but to consider it to be meaningful in terms of tailoring. For what? In a normal tumah, there is no relationship between the intended use and the way that the tumah becomes attached to the Kli, it's irrelevant. Aha! There is a place where I can actually apply this across the board. Where a Kli is broken and can no longer be used for its intended use, although it can still be used for another use, from here I see that the Torah values intended use and not other usages. Oh, there you go. So that difference won't matter when it comes to the way in which a Kli will be makabel tumah, but it will very much matter when it comes to determining whether a Kli is a Kli. That, yes. You see, it's a brilliant thing that Rabbi Yochanan is saying, except, unfortunately, it's the opposite of what he said over here. Here he said you could take a bell, turn it upside down, and use it as a baby's cup. And here he's saying, no, a broken Kli is only a Kli for its intended usage. There is somebody in there. You want to please see what's going on? Okay. So, therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Afomer betame meit amod menasim lachtenu," is a contradiction to Rabbi Yochanan, who says, "Ho'il v'ro'ui legamei abo mayim l'tinok." Clear question. Answers the Gemara, you're right, there's absolutely no way out of this question, and what we're going to have to do is admit that we made a mistake, and that epuch kamait. The first thing that we had two explanations. We had Rabbi Yossi for Rabbi Hanina's explanation, that the bell can be hit against something else to ring. That was what Rabbi Yochanan had said. And the latter part, which is that a bell is usable as a child's cup, that was actually Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, not Rabbi Yochanan. Well, what makes you think that the first time we were wrong, maybe the second time we were wrong? And let's now invert Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan and say that it was Rabbi Yochanan who said that which would be consistent with the first part, and it was Rabbi Elazar who said that even with Tomei Meit we're concerned for the original usage of the Kli. Is it now okay?
So maybe it's the stuff that take that down. There's not a not good smell there, but we don't see anything.
Okay. All right, so there's nothing there now. There's no problem in...
No, it needs the air now.
Okay, well, fine. But I think that at least we don't have to worry about rotting again.
This wasn't the stuff.
Huh?
We don't see it unless there's something
there. Okay, I'll just have it's at least covered in a way that's on there. The same. Answers the Gemara, I'll tell you why I chose to say that Rabbi Yochanan in our sugya is a confusion with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. It's because I have other proof that Rabbi Yochanan indeed does require Me'in Melach HaRishonah. Hashamina Leila Rabbi Yochanan Dugoy Me'in Melach HaRishonah from another sugya. The other sugya is also a Mishnah that talks about, I should say, the Tanan, Sandal Shel Be'ima Shel Matechet Tameh. That if you have this is basically armor. This is used during wartime, surely. So that you armor an animal's foot by putting metal over it to protect it. it's considered to be tamei. Now, lechora, it's nothing but an animal kli, and we've already seen that animal kelim are not makabel tumah. So what makes this into a human kli? It's certainly not something that is used for being manig the animal or anything else. It's simple malbush for an animal. Malbush for an animal should not be makabel tumah. So Rav says, my chazi, what's it useful for? Rav says, look, in war you do things you wouldn't normally do. If you're dying of thirst and you're in the middle of a battle and you come to a stream and you got to drink fast, you fill it up with water and you drink it. So it's usable as a cleat. And this is something that people will do. No, it's not a horseshoe. It's a real shoe. Rabbi Chanina Amar, Ro'ila Sufbo Shemin B'Milchama. You could always use it for a container for some type of ointment or something, although you wouldn't drink from it. Let's see what they're arguing in. And Rabbi Yochanan comes up with the craziest Egyptian usage. When you're running away from the battle, in a pinch you can put on these things and run in places where they normally won't be able to follow you. You can go through thistles and thorn bushes and so on, and thereby get out of the way of danger. Now, apparently, Rabbi Yochanan is not satisfied with the other usages, because to say that it's a shoe and I'm going to turn it into a container for drink wouldn't make it a kli that I would be mitami, because it's not omade for its initial malacha. So if you tell me, and obviously this is all by extension, but it's again, we're not talking here about broken kelim. We're going back to the way in which it occurs, similar to the way in which the original concept occurs by midrasot. Because here we need to describe the relationship of the shoe to the user. The animal is the original user. An animal shoe will not be mekabel tumah.
Why is that?
Because it's only klei adam that are mekabel tumah, which we saw yesterday. But if the animal shoe has within it elements for which it's usable by an adam, which are the same type of use that we would have for the shoe of the behemoth, then included in its shoeness is, in fact, its human connection. So since I'm armoring my animal, this is a secondary usage in a war for use of that armor for myself. But it would have to be the same type of usage. So this is very much the extended version of Yesheva Lavazav. In fact, it's closer to the original meaning, is it not? Because it's defining the relationship between the user and the kli, rather than the use and the kli, which is the extended meaning that Rabbi Yochanan gave it earlier. These are concepts that you really enjoy. Up your alley. Right. So we have three dargas over here. We have the original meaning of the pasuk is defining the relationship between the user who is the metame and the kli. We have Rabbi Yochanan's wild extension of this idea, which is the relationship between the kli and its use in general. And over here we have something in the middle, which is very similar to the original idea, because it does define the nature of the user. But it's, that is to say, is the user an animal or is the user a human? But it doesn't define the nature of the metame and his relationship to the kli. But nonetheless, once Rabbi Yochanan is ready to extend the use of an animal armor to an adam's usage in a pinch, and only that way, not for other things like a cup, it means that he remains now makbid on the idea that the Torah taught us in the Din of Midrasot, which is it's got to be related to its initial usage. And therefore, it wouldn't make sense to say it was Rabbi Yochanan who took Rabbi Elazar's side, because then he would be contradicting himself here. Why, in the case of the armor, is he saying it has to be similar to the original usage? Makes much more sense that Rabbi Yochanan got mixed up with Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Hanina in our sugya, and he was the one that had really said you have to be able to use a bell for making sounds, but not for giving a child a drink.
But the prophet, a human foot can fit into a horseshoe. And
you have
to
remember this. Horseshoe. Horseshoe. We're talking about elephants. No, he knows. He's saying a shoe for a horse. He didn't mean that. Something that the shape is rather different. What's that? An armor? Well, we'll see. There's another metal shoe that was used for protection for people, for painters, because they would use seed, literal seed, and the seed damages leather terribly. So they would make an armored shoe and stick their. I couldn't walk with it unless it was on a pinch. So now the practical
chain metal can be put on, which can
run
away in the war something.
So the practical napkaminas, I mean, are definitely involved over here, because Ma'bein Rav L'Ribbe Chanina. I mean, if Rav is saying that we're talking about something that is common, it's common to drink, to desperately need something to drink from in war, and therefore if it's mois, Rav wouldn't accept it, but it's really disgusting. You don't feel it's drinkable from. What are you going to say? But at least you can use it as an ointment? Show me how many soldiers are running around using ointment in the middle of the battle. So that's not considered to be a normal usage. Bein Rav Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, you could be now the Yatya. Nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan holds that the point over here is to be able to run. If it's very heavy, you ain't going to be able to run with it. And therefore, according to him, a heavy shoe is going to hamper your running away, and the whole point here is to get out as fast as you can.
Exactly.
Too long. Okay, continues the Mishnah. A woman is not allowed to go out wearing an Yerushal Zahab. My Yerushal Zahab, Rabbi Bar Bachana Rav Yochanan, means a Yerushalayim de Dahava, and it's Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, Kida Avid Lei Rabbi Akiva Le Devito, and the famous story of Rabbi Akiva and his wife, where he made her a beautiful Yerushalayim out of gold. And we find, in fact, there's a machlok as to what this is in terms of Masi. Tan Rabba, Lo Tetze Yishabi Yerushal Zahav in Yatzta. Hayavet Chatat, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that if a woman would be wearing an Yerushal Zahav, it would be actual Masa. Now this is weird. The Chor is definitely a Tachshit. And if it's a Tachshit, how could it possibly be Chayavet Chatat? There are some Rishonim who suggest that, in fact, an Yerushal Zahav is uncomfortable, heavy, and comes for one purpose only, to proclaim how rich you are. And proclamations of how rich you are not considered to be normal malvush. Instead, it's like carrying around the sign, I am rich.
Status symbol.
Yeah. It's a status symbol that is not anything else. Normally, the status symbol at least pretends to be a watch, or pretends to be a bracelet, or whatever. This thing doesn't pretend to be anything but a status symbol. And therefore, status symbols, per se, are not considered to be tachshit, according to Rabbi Meir.
Status symbol?
For his wife. I mean, she definitely needed it, because she called herself a behemoth. Okay, so therefore, says Rabbi Meir, it would be an actual chiyuv chatas. The chachamim omrim lo teitzei, but it remains a tachshit. V'im yatzta ptura. Rabbi Eliezer omer yotza isha b'ir shel zahav lechatzchila. There's no problem in wearing the ir shel zahav, even in the rishut rabbi. So we've got from one extreme to the other. The Micah miflegim. So Rabbi Meir sever masur. Rabbi Meir says, "Look, it's only a masur. It doesn't even have a din of a tachshit."
Is it hair?
No, it's like literally a crown. Yeah. Rabbanan savre. Well, but it's an extended tachshit. It may not be very common, but the point is, you wouldn't walk around with a sign saying "I am rich," or you wouldn't walk around with your latest bank statement to pin to your jacket. So it's not a status symbol. Has to also be decorative. Maybe we ought to open up a new design of bank statements in gold.
May have sent the brewery wouldn't have worn it.
Yes, of course not. And there are Rabbanan holds a tachshit, so why can't you wear it? The old gezeira, the umashalfa umachvile, the atilatiye. Since it's so beautiful, your friend's going to ask somebody to see that, and she takes it off and shows it, and ends up carrying it. For Rabbi Elazar Savar, Rabbi Eliezer Savar, look. Mandar Kalamefi Bir Shelzav, only an Isha Hashuva. Nobody who's wearing a status symbol would do something so gauche as to take off the status symbol and to show it around. Oh, was I wearing something, darling? Oh, really? When I get home, I'll take a look in the mirror. So therefore, there's no way she's going to take that off. And lo mashu machila, and therefore, for her, it would be mutter even lechatchila, because we have no gezera. It's like wearing a baguette, and there's nothing wrong with it. Tosis points out that even if we paskin like that, we'll see later on we have other issues that are of things that are worn by an isha chashuva only. It seems we do paskin like this. It doesn't mean that we would start making the difference between who is an isha chashuva and who is not an isha chashuva. So if you get your tudah, the isha chashuva, you can wear jewelry on Shabbat. Again, this would be a great way to get people to vote for Shas. Right? You send out to the an isha chashuva email. Okay, so That's what, that's, we're not talking about the contest, we're talking about the shaila of whether it would be removable. It doesn't change the, it's only in terms of the Yisra Rabbanu. Does it change Rabbi Meir? I mean, Rabbi Meir holds it's not a doctrine, so then it's down on itself. That's a different question. We're not talking about Rabbi Meir. So it does, of course it doesn't mean that you get a tuda of Isha Hashubah. It means those things that are only worn by an Isha Hashubah. Now the question is, what about somebody who just made a lot of money?
Nouveau
Kashmir. Enter an announcement. The Brachah Brachah Nisipul limits on those who are shoving the Tekutu Borevich. You already settled in power by now. Settled, just haven't yet settled. Yeah. I see you've been doing more research on this issue. Okay. How about a Kalila? So how about an actual Kalila? The Kalila is also a type of crown. And it goes over the forehead, not the hanging that we had earlier, but rather an actual piece that is supported by either by its own metallic pressure, or is supported around the padachot like the seats. But it doesn't it's not like a hanging design we had before that would be attached to the woman's tzitzit, like the tzitzit itself. So how about the kalilia? What's that then? Is that considered to be the same? Rav Asar v'Shmuel Shor. We have actually a machloket. Whether we would say that it's considered to be a something that you might take off and show, and it depends actually how it's made. So down nisera kuliyamelo pligidios. If it's made out of metal, it's gold, it's silver. There for sure, there's a good chance that she would take it off to show. The arukta. Now the question over here is, how about if it was made out of embroidery, in which you include in the embroidery like we do on our talis bags, you know, gold thread. And some decorative stones even, and so on. So there the shaila is, on the level of kashivut, of that type of embroidered object. So ma'atsava aniska iker. One man the honor holds, well, the designs over there are the essence of it, and therefore you have to treat it like something that would be taken off to be shown. Whereas ma'atsava arukta iker, the other man the honor says, no, it's the material, the ma'isa, that is the iker over there, and it's not considered to be chashiv, it would really be low class to take it off, to show it off in Rosh Hashanah. Ravashi says, no, you're being machmer over here. I would say like this, I'm asked of kula. The arukta kulam of a pligid ashari. Both Rav and Shmuel would be made a, but if it's made out of cloth, even if it's designed and embroidered, definitely it's mutter. The machlokas is on the aniska. Marzava dilma, shalfa umach, yavi asilatuye. One mandiyama holds well, it's like any other piece of jewelry. Marzava, the other mandiyama says, no. It's actually more valuable, more chashav than a normal piece of jewelry. And therefore, says Shmuel, man dar kala metek bekalila, only an ishachashuva lo shalfu mafia. So this is the same type of thing that we saw before, a piece of jewelry that is miyuchad only, and the only one who can carry it off is an ishachashuva. So therefore, it's the type of jewelry that never goes on in the first place. Certainly an ishachashuva was wearing that type of jewelry that other people wear that she wouldn't be allowed to work out with on Shabbos. We'll get to that love tomorrow. Omale Rav Shmuel Bar Bar Chana L'Rav Yosef B'Feirush Amarta Lan Mishmei D'Rab Clearly Ashari. Before you became ill, remember Rav Yosef had lost his Talmud by becoming ill. So you told us that you would often remind him. Rav Shmuel Bar Bar Chana reminded Rav Yosef. You told us in the name of Rav that a Klila is mutter, not like Rav says over your Klila also. Omale Rav. They came and reported to Rav about a new arrival who was sprouting all types of halachas. Ota Gavra Rabba Arichel in Arda, a tall, great man, has arrived in Arda, umitla, and he's lame. And he's going around telling people that kalilas are okay to wear on Shabbos. So Rav said to himself, now who could that be? Man Gavra Rabba Arichel in Mitla. Who is a lame strider? Could only be Levi. Shemamina. Now, what would Levi be doing in Narada? There's only one explanation. This is what makes Sherlock Holmes proud. If Levi is in Narada, it is clear that Rabbi Afas has died. Why is that? Because Rabbi Afas was the Rosh Hashiva. What happened is when Rabbi had died, he had appointed Rabbi Hanina to be the Rosh Hashiva. Rabbi Hanina refused to accept the position. Because he said Rav Afas was older. So Rav Afas became Rosh Hashanah, and everybody went to learn with him. Levi stayed with Rabbi Hanina, Rabbi Hanina's aunt. Now, if Levi has left, it can only mean that poor Rabbi Hanina has become Rabbi Shimon, which has left Levi without a Gavrusa, and with nobody to learn by, because he wasn't going to go and become a Talmud to Rabbi Hanina, who was a friend of his own age. So therefore, it must be that Yosef Rabbi Hanina Bereisha, Rabbi Hanina has now become Rosh Hashiva. Lo havi lahinu shu Levi lebeitiv gabe. Levi had nobody before whom he could sit and learn. So kati la'ach, apparently what's happened is he's come into town. Oh, no, no, wait. Doesn't he jump to conclusions? I mean, maybe Rabbi Hanina died. Rabbi Hanina might have died. And Rabbi Hanina was just the way he always was. Rabbi Hanina's kiddi koi koi. And therefore, Levi didn't have anybody to learn with. So, lo havi lahinu shu Levi lebeitiv kati la'ach. No, that couldn't be. Rav knew that that wasn't the explanation. It's elementary, my dear Watson. In Ita, the Rabbi Hanina shot, had it been Rabbi Hanina who died, then definitely Levi would have been willing to stay in the Talmud by Rabbi Achas. So Levi, the Rabbi Achas, Mikhav Rabbi Chayef, he wouldn't have minded going into Rabbi Achas' shir, because Rabbi Achas was older than he was. Furthermore, my dear Watson, there is no way that Rabbi Hanina could have died without becoming Rosh Hashiva first. So Rav Achas had to have died, and Rabbi Hanina became Rosh Hashiva. How do I know that? The two, Rabbi Hanina, lo sagi de lo malach, it's impossible that he would have died without becoming Rosh Hashiva. Because as Rabbi lay dying, the Kinnak Nafshi the Rabbi, Amar Hanina de Rabbi Chana Yati Barosh, that Hanina is to be the Rosh Hashiva. Now, once Rabbi said that, Rabbi Hanina could not have died without becoming Rosh Hashiva. Because Ketibuk said to Tzadikim, when it comes to people like Rebbe, it says, "Batigzar Omer b'yokom lach." When you say something, it comes true. Therefore, Rabbi Hanina would have, at one point in his life, certainly have been mekayim min hashamayim this gezeira of Rebbe. Must therefore be that Rabbi Achas died and Rabbi Hanina finally became Rosh Hashiva. Dorash Levi ben Arda. Now Levi went out and gave a public lecture in which he said a kalila is okay to wear on Shabbat. In the entire Narada, you had 24 women who could pull off a kalila. So nothing out of the entire Narada, Esrin va'arba kalila, Nikula Narada, the entire population, 24 kalilas. Rabba Baravua, however, who lived in L.A., in Bavuza. So over there, he did the same thing. He darshan the kalila is mutter. And from one block, we won't say what street it is, but from one block, from one block, you had 12 kalilas. Just imagine what was going on in Beverly Hills. So, not the Tzmani Trek, Elilia, Michada, Mavua. Amr of Yuna, Amr Rav. Now, there's a problem here with the gears of Kalilia, because it's not Amr of Yuna, Amr Rav Shmuel. It's either Amr of Yuna, Amr Rav, or it's Amr of Yuna, Amr Shmuel, or there is a gears, which is Amr of Yuna, Amr of Sheshes. But it's not Amr of Yuna, Amr Rav Shmuel, that's for sure. So now, whatever it was, whoever it was that he was quoting, said that a Kamara is short. Now the Kamara, remember, we discussed, we'll assume right now that the Kamara that we're talking about over here is a decorative belt. Now the Shaila is it your only belt? In which case, it's unlikely that you'd take it off to show a friend because it's inconvenient to have your clothing fall off. So he's saying a Kamara over here. What would be the din with this Kamara? So a Kamara, which would be like a golden belt and so on, would be okay to wear. Now some say that he's talking about Ikedam Dialukta. He's talking about over here a belt that was made out of, the same way we had before. Its main, the main beauty of it was, I mean, it's not that it's solid gold or anything. And it's just, you know, there's decorations on it. The Umr of Yasubita Da'avi Atalit Musevet. And if somebody's wearing one of these fancy talis, it's got the collar, you know, this, the gold or the silver plated. I mean, we're not going to make out a gezeira over there. You're going to take off your talit on Shabbat. Clothing is clothing. It's not, I said, this is clothing. It's a belt. It's a pretty belt. So what is that? People start undressing.
I think it's in my women.
No, we'll see that. But lechara is something that would be taken off. We'd have to worry about. So we don't make a gezeira on that. The ikeri amre, others learn. The aniska, actually, he's talking about a beautiful metallic belt. The Omer of Zafran, Midi Da'ali, Av Neto Shemalachim. Look, I mean, you can have beautiful things. Say a prince would wear something like that, and it's part of his clothing. It's not something that's additional to the clothing. It's just on there. So what? The way in which you hold your pants up. You wear your pants up with a beautiful piece of gold. What's wrong with that? Omele Ravina L'Ravashi. How about if you're wearing a regular belt, and on top of that, you want to put on the Gemara. So now it becomes purely decorative. What's the din over there? So he asks, Rav Ashi, Kamara Ilui Hamainamai. How about if you put it on top of your normal cloth belt? Amalei, what are you saying? You're saying, actually, Trey Hamainai. You're saying a guy is wearing something that is, what, a double belt? I mean, that's not well considered to be Malbush. It's not serving any purpose. Tosis points out that that is only where you have one on top of another, and it's just not doing anything. Let's say you have two different types of clothing. You're wearing pants. You have a belt on your pants. And you have a robe on top of the pants. And now you're wearing a belt to keep the robe closed. That for sure is not a problem of wearing two pieces of useless clothing. So, I mean, you had the same issue you would have. Somebody asks you to wear his jacket for him. On top of yours. So then already it's not considered to be Derech Malbush. Because if people don't wear two jackets, one on top of the other, unless it's for warmth. Someone has a warm jacket and meant to be worn outside and so on. There's actually my focus whether it's Bichlal not considered to be Malbush and it's actually carrying on Shabbos. You'd be chayav chatas if you wore a rishus arav, or no, wearing somebody else's jacket on top of your jacket, or whether it's just a one of these gezeiras in which it's mitzvah rabbanan, where you'll take it off and carry one.
Yes, you can do. You're going to wear a belt.
Well, could be that would be where you'd have the question. Is there a malbush or not? There are people who wear both. Yeah, no, there might be a shayla. Omer Rashi. If you're wearing basically a what do you call those? A cape, like a fair, that can easily fly off. So if it has on it things that allow it to be tied, so that it doesn't. You know, there are people. There. I mean, it's heavy and it sits on you. We're talking about like a cape that you wear, just like, more like a scarf, kind of thing. Women or you wear in the rain. No, it's those waterproof things. If it's got something that will hold it on, so then okay. If that's the case, it's it's not a chashash that it's gonna fly off and you're gonna carry it. But if it's something that just flies off in the wind, then that very often happens. You'll bend down, pick it up, and you walk a little bit before you put it on yourself. And while you're walking, you won't realize that you're walking, which is around. It's another issue to take into consideration. The low essence, if it doesn't have a clip to hold it on, it's no good. Below the ketala, now we saw earlier the ketala, which was the thing where the woman was wearing it up, you know, choking herself in order to look like she's fat, so that she should be attractive. And the real meaning of the ketala is not that it's just a choker, but that it's a minaktapari. Minaktapari means it holds crumbs. Holds crumbs. In other words, it's a bib, but it's a decorative bib. Yeah. So it prevents the clothing from getting dirty, but meanwhile, it was a very fancy way of dressing for a formal dinner and so on, which is similar to what we do. We take fancy napkins and we'll pull them. So, I mean, obviously, it's a rather low class concern that you're pouring things on yourself. So, but not that we do it in a very high class way, which is usually what civilization does. You know, it takes the low class things that you have to do and tries to make a virtue out of them. If you have 40 different types of kaling around for eating each particular thing and so on, and you went to school for 5 years to learn how to do it, it's nowhere near as low class as putting a piece of chocolate in your mouth. Okay? So that's the Ketala. The Nizamin is a reference to Nizmei Ha'af. Why Dafka Nizmei Ha'af? Because earrings, it was not normally accessible to take off and to show. Because what would be is you'd have the decoration of the earring hanging down, but the actual ears were normally kept covered as part of Tzniut. So you'd have the tichel would go around the ears, and you'd see the ears coming out. So a woman wouldn't uncover her ear to take out the nezer. I shouldn't get a nose ring, and noses have to be uncovered. They have that unfortunate tendency. And so therefore, there you have to be chashash on the ear in
these
men.
These nose rings are
flipped? Yeah, well, no, whatever. I mean, or, you know, not permanent. Not permanent, yeah. V'lo b'tabat she'in aleh chotei. Nor a tabat, it's not a even, we understood, even a tabat that doesn't have a seal in it. The mashma'ut being, this is not really a mashma'ut, it's a beferish mishnah to come. The mashma'ut being hayesh le'achotem chayevet. It's the derech of the Gemara. Those who says, obviously we're relying on the actual mission later on, but says this, that you have chatos on a sealing ring. But that's the derech of the Gemara when we're doing something locally, to bring a diyuk locally so that we can discuss it. Because you haven't learned that part of the mission yet. Okay, fine. That's to come. But take my word for it. Yesh al ha'chotem would be chayevet. Okay. So you're saying that a sealing ring is not considered to be a tashit. Is that true, though? V'raminu, Takshitem Nashim Tmeim. Here, when it comes to the question of Tumah V'Tayra, and again, here is where we're getting to, where I warned you up front when we started today's talk, that we're going to be getting to true confusion of the dinam of Maaseh on Shabbos to Tumah V'Tayra. In other words, here we're going to ask a question from a sugya in Kalim, Gabi, what's considered to be Takshitei Nashim for Kabbalat Tumah, to the sugya in Shabbos, what's considered to be Takshitei Nashim, Legabi Hotza'ah. It may well be that the values or the parameters for such two different issues don't have areas that are really parallel. We're assuming right now that once something is defined as a Takshit for Kabbalat Tumah, then it should be a Takshit in terms of Hotza'ah as well. Here you're telling me that a sealing ring is not a takshit for a woman, and that it would be actually a chiyuv chatan for a woman to be walking out with a sealing ring. It would be no different than if she walked out carrying a puncher, which is not on her body. So I guess it's the way that they seal it, is they put it on their body. It doesn't make it a decoration. So it would be a chiyuv chatan. But if that's the case, it should also define whether it's considered to be a takshit legabi kabbalat tumah, which is strange, because you would say straight out, in terms of Kabbalat Tumah, what we want to know is if it's an instrument, not if it's a tashin. And I guess, unfortunately, I was overly optimistic when I said we'd get there today. but we'll see that there's certainly a possibility that that's the issue. Do we define it as an instrument? How do we define it as a tashin? Well, let's assume that our problem is tashin. Okay? So, it says, Beferish in Kalim, that Takshitei Nashim are Tameh, the Elohim Takshitei Nashim, the following are considered to be Takshitim. Katla, Ot, which are the, what do you call them, pendants? The choker. Nizamim, Taba'ot, Tabat, Ben Sheyesh Aleachotem, Ben Sheyin Aleachotem, Nizmeya Av, wait. You just said Ben Sheyesh Aleachotem, Ben Sheyin Aleachotem? It's considered to be Takshitei Nashim. So then why does it say that you would be Chayav Achatas for a woman to be Yotze with a Chotem? Rabbi Zera, you're right, it's a problem. It represents a different shita. We know that there's a machlokus between Rabbi Nechemia and the Rabbanan. The machlokus consists of what defines the essence of a ring. Is it the what would you call the filler of the ring? Well, no, I mean, in other words, if it's jewelry, it would be the stone. If it's a stamper, it would be the stamper. Is there one word to describe the ring?
The
ring itself is the base that is holding whatever it's holding. Is that the way we define the ring? Or do we define the ring that the base is batel to whatever it is that it's serving? In other words, it's only a setting for what is really chashuv. And that's a machlokas. And based on that machlokas, we'll have to define the idea over here too. If you hold that the essence is the ring per se, and not the fact that the ring is a setting, so then if you got a golden ring, what do I care if it happens to have an old coin in it, or if it's got a stamper in it, or if it's got a diamond in it, or if it's got a golden ring? That's what's important. And if you hold the filling is the ikar, and the ring is only viewed as a setting, then there's a big difference. So, and where do we see there's that machlokes? Tanya. He shall matech v'chotma shall almog. If the ring itself is mekabel tuma, because it's metal, whereas the chotem is not mekabel tuma, it's made out of almog, it's fine. Why? Because the ikar is the ring. He shall almog v'chotma shall matech. And on the other hand, if you would have a coral ring, literally, which has on it a decorative gold design on top, then it's tahar, because the gold design is not the yikr, the almog is the yikr. Rabbi Nechemia mitamei, whereas Rabbi Nechemia is just the opposite. Rabbi Nechemia mitabat alechacha chutma. In any situation where you have a substrate and something on that substrate, so you have a ring, the important thing is not the substrate, it's what's on it. So alechacha chutma, you have an ol for an animal. An ol for an animal is made out of wood. But nonetheless, on an ol, Halech acha samlonav. What you need to look at on the ol is to look at the links outside that you control the animal with. Those things are made out of metal. That's what you look at. If it comes to a kolav, you've got a hanger. This, of course, is not what we would call a hanger. It's the, I don't know if we have a word for it, but they sell these all over, where you have a piece of wood, and then you have hooks in the wood. So you hang up the piece of wood, and then you can put many begodim or keys on that thing. So over there, alechachamas merotav. If you look on the kolav, if the kolav is made out of wood, so say it's kliyetz, but if the hooks are made out of metal, then it's considered to be a kli matechet. So again, another example of substrate doesn't matter, the usable portion is what matters. That's the usable portion. If you've got, sorry?
Like the goal of the matter.
Yeah. The instrument. The ARSA, an ARSA is a very large weighing device that you can attach large things to. And basically, it's got chains on it. It's a balance scale, but with chains that you hang the thing on the chain because it's too big to put into a container. So there, if the part that holds the kli for weighing is metal, then that's what's important. Whereas Chachamim say never. It's the substrate that's always important because that's what keeps it together. What good are these hooks if they're not in the wooden background? What good is the ceiling on the ring if there's no ring to hold it there, and so on and so forth? Therefore, what we should look at is the substrate itself, and the mela when it comes over here, it would be the same thing. So if you're taking a look at the ring, what do I care, according to Rabbi Nehemiah, if I've got a seal in it? The important thing is the ring. It's a golden ring. Fine, a golden ring is considered to be a tachshin. According to Chachamim, what am I doing? Carrying around the seal. Carrying around the seal on Shabbos, so then it's obviously not a tachshin, and you would be chayav. That explains the contradiction. Let's go for a program. Rav Nachman. I thought we had Rav Nachman. I got to include Rav Nachman. We'll get it up. Right. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, however, we think I may have a mayim the tinok. Rabbi Yochanan, lo boi me'im lachari shana. Latanya, the whole kli, asher yeshev alav, yoko kofasa av yashav alav. Well, I guess Ebuch Kamaita. Umay Chazita Be'afakta Kamaita. Why not Ebuch Bakraita? Because Hashemini Lezer Biochum Deboi Me'im Malach HaRishona. It's none. Sandal Shel Be'ima Shel Matechet Tamei. Now, what good is it? Omer Rav, Ro'i Lishtot Bo Mayim Be'milchama. Rabbi Chanina Omer, Ro'i Lasur Bo Shemen Be'milchama. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, it has to be usable as a shoe. Bisha'a Shebo Re'ach Min HaKrav, Me'nicho Be'raglav, V'ratza Lakotzim Ve'abar Kanim. My ben Rav Rabbi Chanina, even now the mice. My ben Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Chanina, even now the yakir. It's too heavy to run. V'lo b'hir shel zahav, my b'hir shel zahav. Rav Rabbi Chanina Rabbi Yochanan aims at Yerushalayim to dahava. Kiriyabat by Rabbi Akiva l'debitu. Ton Rabbanan lo tetzei isha b'hir shel zahav. V'im yatzta chayevet chatat. Give Rabbi Meir. V'chakamim omrim lo tetzei, but im yatzta p'tura. Rabbi Ezra omer, even l'chatchila. Yotzai Yisha B'ir Shal Zahav Lachatrim Maika Mitzvage Rabbi Meir Savar Masluyu Rabbanan Savri Takshitu. Therefore, Dilma Shofu Machile Yati Latvye. And even though B'di Raita be okay, we're afraid. Rabbi Eliezer says, there's nothing to be afraid of. Ma'am Dagal, maybe B'ir Shal Zahav Yisha Chashuvah Yisha Chashuvah Lo Mishlachol Machile Klima Rabba Sar B'shmul Shoy Dea Nisra Kuli Amalo Pligi V'yasur Ki Pligi Dea Rukta Mar Savar Niska Yikar Mar Savar Rukta Yikar Ravashi mati lekula. They are rukta kuleyamalo pligi deshari. He pligi the aniska. Mar sava dilma shalfu machmiya beati latuye. Mar sava mandak lemeta beklila. Oli nisha chashuva. Nisha chashuva lo shalfu mach. Amale yoshmul barba chanu rabbi yosef beferush amarta la mishmei rab klila yashari. Amale lo rab. Ata gavra rab arich le nargal mita. V'dayash klila shari. Amar who is a gavra rab arich le nargal? It's got to be Levi. Shema min anach nafshe the rab office. The Yasser of the Chanina Bereish, and Lahavi Lahina Shalevi Lameit of Gadeh, the Kati Lahacha. Why do you say that? Dilma Nachnach to Rebbe Chanina, Rebbapis Kirikoi Koi, Lahavi Lahina Shalevi Lameit of Gadeh, the Kati Lahacha. Because Im Eitan, the Rebbe Chanina Shachim, Levi would have stayed there, and the Rebbapis Mecha Rebbe Chayekle. The Su, Rebbe Chanina, Lo Sagi de Lo Molech, Rebbe Chanech and Afshin the Rebbe, Omer Chanina, Rebbe Chama Yatik Barosh, Uchtibu Bitzadikim, Atik Zoram, Rebbe Yom, Dorash Levi Benardo, Kulil Yashori. Nothing is in the Arba Kulil Mikula Nardo. Whereas Dorash Rabba Barvu Bimachuza Kulil Yashori, but not Kutumani Se Kulil Mikhadam Avua. Omrev Yudam Rev Shmuel Kamara Shori, the Amrev Yarukta. The Omrev Yosef, that's because we have a Yatalik Muzhebe, but it's still clothing. We have a Yaniska, Muslim Yavin Netushimalaki. Omrev Revealer Rashi, what about a Kamara above your belt, ma? Omrev, what? Trayam Nayokam? That's for sure carrying. Omrev Rashi, Hirasuka. Yitlan Yitrachaya Shori Vilo Asr. Lobi Ktala, Maktala Menakta Peri. Yizomim Yizmeha Af. Lo betabachin aleachotam. So what are you saying? Yesh aleachotam chayevet. In other words, not tashitu. Raminu tashitei nashim tmeyot ve'eloin tashitei nashim katalaot nizamim tabaot v'tabat ben sheyesh aleachotam v'shein aleachotam v'nizmeah v'zer lo tashit. Already nechemi alabana. The Tanya Yisha Matech Bechot Mashal Almog Tmeha Yisha Almog Bechot Mashal Matech Torah Rebbe Nechemia Betame Shaya Rebbe Nechemia Omer Betabat Always Olakaka Chotma Bo'ol Always Olakaka Sam Lomab Bekolav Olakaka Masmerotav Sulam Olakaka Shlivotav Arsa Olakaka Shashalotav Kachomim Omim Hakol Olakaka Kamamim. So by extension over here, Rebbe Yisha, it's a nice golden ring, you know, according to the Ma'amit. Whereas according to the Chachamim, you go according to what the thing is.
Oh.